Do you want victory? You can have it in Christ Jesus.
Time once again for Abiding in Christ with Jim Wood.
You have to step back, evaluate the various positions in light of Scripture, and then re-engage with a godly perspective.
Pastor Wood is the founder and executive director of Ware's Valley Ranch, a Christian home and school for kids from crisis situations.
Jesus said, "As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Abide in my love."
You can contact the program by calling 866-41-ABIDE or by visiting us on the web at pastorwood.org. And now, here's your host, Jim Wood.
You would please open your Bibles to the book of Judges. We are in Judges chapter 8. This is the third message in a series regarding the life of Gideon, who was one of God's servants. Judges chapter 8. This is God's word. "Now the Ephraimites asked Gideon, 'Why have you treated us like this? Why didn't you call us when you went to fight Midian?' And they criticized him sharply. But he answered them, 'What have I accomplished compared to you? Aren't the gleanings of Ephraim's grapes better than the full grape harvest of Abiezer? God gave Oreb and Zeb, the Midianite leaders, into your hands. What was I able to do compared to you?' At this, their resentment against him subsided. Gideon and his 300 men, exhausted yet keeping up the pursuit, came to the Jordan and crossed it. He said to the men of Succoth, 'Give my troops some bread. They are worn out, and I am still pursuing Zeba and Zalmunna, the kings of Midian.' But the officials of Succoth said, 'Do you already have the hands of Zeba and Zalmunna in your possession? Why should we give bread to your troops?' Then Gideon replied, 'Just for that, when the Lord has given Zeba and Zalmunna into my hand, I will tear your flesh with desert thorns and briars.' From there he went up to Peniel and made the same request of them, but they answered as the men of Succoth had. So he said to the men of Peniel, 'When I return in triumph, I will tear down this tower.' Now Zeba and Zalmunna were in Karkor with a force of about 15,000 men, all that were left of the armies of the eastern peoples. 120,000 swordsmen had fallen. Gideon went up by the route of the nomads east of Noba and Jogbaha and fell upon the unsuspecting army. Zeba and Zalmunna, the two kings of Midian, fled, but he pursued them and captured them, routing their entire army. Gideon, son of Joash, then returned from the battle by the pass of Heres. He caught a young man of Succoth and questioned him. And the young man wrote down for him the names of the 77 officials of Succoth, the elders of the town. Then Gideon came and said to the men of Succoth, 'Here are Zeba and Zalmunna, about whom you taunted me by saying, "Do you already have the hands of Zeba and Zalmunna in your possession? Why should we give bread to your exhausted men?" He took the elders of the town and taught the men of Succoth a lesson by punishing them with desert thorns and briars. He also pulled down the Tower of Peniel and killed the men of that town. When he asked Zeba and Zalmunna, "What kind of men did you kill at Tabor?" "Men like you," they answered, "each one with the bearing of a prince." Gideon replied, "Those were my brothers, the sons of my own mother. As surely as the Lord lives, if you had spared their lives, I would not kill you." Turning to Jether, his oldest son, he said, "Kill them." But Jether did not draw his sword because he was only a boy and was afraid. Zeba and Zalmunna said, "Come, do it yourself. As is the man, so is his strength." So Gideon stepped forward and killed them and took the ornaments off their camels' necks. The Israelites said to Gideon, "Rule over us, you, your son, and your grandson, because you have saved us out of the hand of Midian." But Gideon told them, "I will not rule over you, nor will my son rule over you. The Lord will rule over you." And he said, "I do have one request. that each of you give me an earring from your share of the plunder. It was the custom of the Ishmaelites to wear gold earrings. They answered, we'll be glad to give them. So they spread out a garment, and each man threw a ring from his plunder onto it. The weight of the gold rings he asked for came to 1,700 shekels, not counting the ornaments, the pendants, and the purple garments worn by the kings of Midian, or the chains that were on their camels' necks. Gideon made the gold into an ephod, which he placed in Ophrah, his town. All Israel prostituted themselves by worshiping it there, and it became a snare to Gideon and his family. Thus Midian was subdued before the Israelites and did not raise its head again. During Gideon's lifetime, the land enjoyed peace 40 years. Jerubbaal, son of Joash, went back home to live. He had 70 sons of his own, for he had many wives. His concubine, who lived in Shechem, also bore him a son, whom he named Abimelech. Gideon, son of Joash, died at a good old age and was buried in the tomb of his father Joash in Ophrah of the Abiezerites. No sooner had Gideon died than the Israelites again prostituted themselves to the Baals. They set up Baal-berith as their god and did not remember the Lord their God, who had rescued them from the hands of all their enemies on every side. They also failed to show kindness to the family of Jerubbaal, that is Gideon, for all the good things he had done for them. May God add his blessing to this reading from his holy and inspired word. In chapter 7, things went really well. In chapter 7, God delivered a miraculous victory for his people. But often, some of our most difficult times fall immediately on the heels of some of our best accomplishments. Some of our greatest joys all of a sudden roll over, and we find ourselves in real hardship, real suffering. What happened here is that although they had experienced the Lord's deliverance, they had experienced a victory over the enemy that only God could accomplish. There was still more work to be done. And as Gideon is seeking to do what God has called him to do, he gets a slap in the face from some of the Israelites, the people of Ephraim, who are really upset because they feel that they were not given proper respect. Now, they have been given a part of the victory. As he was pursuing the enemy, he sent out word, this is at the end of chapter 7, verse 24, Gideon sent messengers throughout the hill country of Ephraim saying, come down against the Midianites and seize the waters of the Jordan ahead of them as far as Beth Barah. So the men of Ephraim were called out and they took the waters of the Jordan as far as Beth Barah. They also captured two of the Midianite leaders, Oreb and Zeb. They killed Oreb at the Rock of Oreb and Zeb at the winepress of Zeb. And they pursued the Midianites and brought the heads of Oreb and Zeb to Gideon, who was by the Jordan. So they brought him the heads of these two bad guys, and yet when they brought them, they didn't say, we are so grateful for your leadership. Instead, they said, why have you treated us like this? Why didn't you call us when you went to fight Midian? Do you remember that originally there were 32,000 men who came out when Gideon called? And God whittled it down to 300? And these folks are now saying, you left us out. We weren't part of the group. We weren't invited. I understand you had a birthday celebration and you didn't invite me. These people were a distraction from the battle. God had given this Gideon a mission. And God had given him 300 folks who were the Lord's choice to get the job done. And God was working miraculously. But these people, the Ephraimites, who actually did participate in the battle, they were upset that they had not been called on earlier. You must not respect us like you should. So Gideon pulled out his sword and started whacking at them, right? No. Gideon did what you need to do when you have this kind of personality distracting you from the mission God's given you. He said, the Bible says a soft answer turns away wrath. And Gideon demonstrates that. He says, oh, guys, you killed Oreb and Zeb. What have I done that compares to that? I'm just from the little clan of the Abiezerites. Your gleanings, just the leftovers from your grape harvest, are better than the full harvest of my clan. Ephraimites said, well, okay, all right, just so long as that's clear. Just as long as you know that we're really good and that you're really, really blessed just to be around us. Okay. And Gideon said, no, listen, I'm so appreciative. I'm going to stay right here and spend a week with you guys. No. He took off after the enemy again. This was a distraction. Let me say something really nice to these people and then move on with what God's called me to do. Is that clear? Let me tell you, we could learn from that, couldn't we? When somebody acts like a jerk, you don't have to act like a jerk back. And you don't have to be jerked around. If somebody acts that way, say, oh, listen, you know, I'm sure we all appreciate what a remarkable person you are. Okay? As a matter of fact, I may have some remarks later. But let's move on. Verse 4, Gideon and his 300 men, exhausted, yet keeping up the pursuit, came to the Jordan and crossed it. That's no small thing. They could have said, well, okay, they've crossed the river, so I guess we don't have to deal with them anymore right now because I'm really exhausted. No, he was exhausted. He's keeping up the pursuit. And when he comes to the river, he says, okay, guys, let's get wet. They go over to the other side, and they keep pursuing. And he comes to a town, the town of Succoth, and he says to the people of that town, the elders of that town, would you please give my men something to eat? We are exhausted, but we've got a job to do. We need your help. Would you please help us? And they said, what are you trying to do? He says, we're going after Zeba and Zalmunna. And their response is, have you already got their hands? Can you show us that you've killed him? He just said we're trying to chase him down. This is very unhelpful. And what they're saying is, we will not support you until our support is obviously not needed any longer. We're not going to support you until you have already accomplished what you say you're going to do. Then maybe we'll share a meal. So he says, I'm going to do what God sent me to do, and I'm going to be back. And when I come back, I'm going to beat you with thorns and briars. That's an interesting punishment. I don't know where he came up with that, but that was what he said he was going to do. And guess what, folks? That's what he did. He said, when I come again, this I will do. And he came again, and he did what he promised. This is a foreshadowing. Our deliverer is perfect. Gideon was not. But like Gideon, our deliverer has promised that he's going to come again and that when he does, it's not going to be good for everybody. There are going to be a lot of people for whom the second coming of Jesus is going to be bad news. Those of us who are in Christ look forward to his return. Those who've said, well, I'll believe it when I see it, are going to see it. And they're going to believe it. And it's going to be too late. Every knee is going to bow and every tongue is going to confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. But that is not salvation for everybody. That is not universalism. Everybody's going to bow. Everyone's going to confess him as Lord. But many are going to hear him say, many are going to hear him say, depart from me, I never knew you. And they're going to be surprised because they were very religious. And they are going to say to him, according to Jesus, Lord, Lord, didn't we do this? And didn't we do this? And didn't we do this? And didn't we do this? He says, you practice lawlessness. Where was their confidence? It was in what they did. We did this. We did this. We did this. If you think for one second that you are going to go to heaven on the basis of what you have done, you are not going to heaven at this point. If you think there's something you can do to earn your salvation, you're still on the road to hell. And it is a broad road. Many travel on it. The only folks going to heaven are the folks who realize we've got nothing to commend ourselves except Jesus. It's His blood and His righteousness. That alone is our hope. Only Jesus.
Thank you for listening to Abiding in Christ with Pastor Jim Wood.
Did you know that along with being an excellent Bible teacher, Pastor Wood has authored over a dozen books? We'd like to encourage you to visit pastorwood.org for resources and books authored by Pastor Wood and his wife, Susan. You can also listen to or download teachings by Pastor Wood 24/7. Please visit pastorwood.org today. That's pastorwood.org.
To step out of my comfort zone into the realm of the unknown where Jesus is.
Now, he said, I'm coming back and you're going to be punished. He then goes on to Peniel and they answer the same way that the men from the first place, Succoth, did. And so he says, and they're up in a tower. I mean, picture this. They are up in a tower and they're saying to him, no way, we're not going to help. He says, when I come back, you're coming down. That tower you built is going to be destroyed. And sure enough, it was. And they were killed. The men of that city were killed. So, Gideon went and he captured Zeba and Zalmunna, who were in Karkor with a force, verse 10, of about 15,000 men. Now, who is this? Verse 4, Gideon and his 300 men exhausted, yet keeping up the pursuit. Verse 10, Zeba and Zalmunna were in Karkor with a force of about 15,000 men, which was all that were left of the armies of the eastern peoples. 120,000 swordsmen had fallen. This is kind of crazy, isn't it? I mean, I've got 300 exhausted men trying to chase down an army of 15,000. I mean, why would you not say, I think we did enough? We've killed over 120,000. He's only got 15,000 left. I think we can leave them with that. They've learned their lesson. No, he says, we're not done. Because they hadn't done everything God told them to do. And so they chase these guys down, they capture them, and they kill them. And then they go back, having dealt with the people who wouldn't support them and saying, you guys are punished. These guys are dead. The Israelites say, you demand. We want you as our king. We want you and your son and your grandson to be our rulers. We submit ourselves to you. You will rule over us. And Gideon says, no, that's not the way it works. Why not? Because the Lord is the one who delivered you and the Lord is the one you need to serve. That was a great answer. Okay? That was the right thing to do. It was the right thing to say. And then Gideon adds a little something. Remember, Jesus is perfect. Gideon's not. Gideon says, I'll tell you what I would appreciate. Everybody just chip in one gold earring, okay? These guys had gotten a lot of gold earrings because they killed 120,000 swordsmen before they caught up with Zeba and Zalmunna. He says, all I want is just some earrings. That'll do it. If everybody will just chip in one, that's a lot of gold. Now, he takes up the collection. He's got 43 pounds of solid gold. What are we going to do with 43 pounds of solid gold? He makes it into a golden ephod, which is like a special garment for the priest. He's not a priest. No, but he's always thought those were cool looking. Okay, and so he makes a gold one for himself. And of course, you know, who wants to wear a 43-pound piece of clothing? It's not something you wear. It's just something you put on display, which is what was done. And it became a snare to Gideon and his family, because people, instead of letting that remind them of the greatness of God and the victory that God had won, they began to worship it. It became an idol. Throughout church history, there has been controversy over icons, images. Is it all right in the church to have statues of various folks? Some have said, oh, it's important to do that because this is how we tell the story of God's faithfulness. Others have said it is not okay to do that because it quickly devolves into people worshiping other people, praying to saints instead of praying to the Father in Jesus' name. Jesus said, you don't have to ask me. You can ask the Father in my name. You can come through me. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. You don't come through somebody else. And you don't have to worry, well, I don't want to bother God. I'll just ask his mom. That's not the way it works. You come directly to your heavenly Father who loves you so much that he sent Jesus to die in your place so that you could be completely forgiven and restored to eternal life with him in a relationship where he pours his love on you and in you. He comes to live in you. Your body becomes the temple of the Holy Spirit. This is what God has in mind, and we want to, that's a little too close for comfort, okay? And some of you may think, we'll just pray to Jesus. Jesus says, listen, you don't have to ask me. You can ask my Father. He loves you. In fact, Jesus said, he loves you the same way he loves me. You believe that? It's true. I know it's true because Jesus said it. So, this thing, this golden ephod, becomes a snare to Gideon and his family. And the Israelites are coming and honoring not the Lord, but they're beginning to honor that thing. Is it a sin to have a statue of some person in a church building? I don't think so. But it's a sin to treat it as if it's an idol. I don't think there's any problem with having a painting that reminds us of a great story. I think we have to be on guard lest, as has often been the case throughout church history, it devolves into a situation of idolatry because the human heart wants something other than God that we can worship. That's not a problem with images. It is a problem with idolatrous hearts. Well, after Gideon's death, he died after 40 years of peace. And no sooner had Gideon died than the Israelites again prostituted themselves to the Baals. They set up Baal-berith as their god, notice, and did not remember the Lord their God who had rescued them from the hands of all their enemies on every side. God was the one who did it. And their sin of idolatry was because they took their eyes off of God. They also failed to show kindness to the family of Jerubbaal, that is Gideon, for all the good things he had done for them. And he had done a lot of good things for them. And they'd had 40 years of peace. But guess what? He wasn't the one who delivered them from all their enemies. God's the one who did that. Worship God. And worship him alone.
You've been listening to Abiding in Christ. If you have questions that you'd like for us to tackle on the program or comments you want to make, I want to invite all of you to contact us at 866-41-ABIDE. That's our toll-free number, 866-41-ABIDE, or contact us on the web at pastorwood.org. That's pastorwood.org.